So, are you a father yet?
Not yet.
Oh, that's disappointing. How soon?
I think we're actually going to be scheduling a C-section, and I think actually we're going to be able to do April 1st.
It has to be either March 16th, so it can be Steve Austin Day, 316, or It has to be April 5th, so it can be Federation Day, and it can be Star Trek
for First Contact. Well, it's not going to be April 5th, I can promise you that. There's still a chance of 360. I mean, frankly, it could happen any time in March.
Better.
So, you know, cross your fingers.
I need to be there with, like, a boombox, and I'll play the glass shattering as the baby's being delivered. Oh, hell yeah.
If my wife is still on the operating table with her uterus cut open, she will leap up and punch you if you do that.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. Bring it on. But don't, actually, that'd be unhealthy for her and the babies. But I'll still play the music because it'll be funny. And, you know, that's what's really important. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
I'm sorry, I just got a text message from Jessica that says 316 will not happen in all caps.
Oh, it's happening. You shouldn't have let her known. It's not up to her. Those kids are coming on 316, damn it. It's going to be awesome. Better than on April Fool's Day, I mean, God. What was that? All right. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast and podcast on February 27, 2015. This is Mike. I'm joined by AJ.
Hello.
/ Ajga. How's it going? Good.
So I want to thank you once again because I'm looking at it and we haven't done a show since then. But you gave me perhaps the greatest birthday card in the history of birthday cards. I haven't put a picture of this online. I keep meaning to. I'm forgetting. But as everyone who's listened to this show for a number of years will know, not only do you have trouble with dates, no, not lately, but sometimes in the past, you even got the year of the show wrong. So this past Sunday, I turned 31 years old. In your card, you drew a picture of a cake, which apparently is a poop cake, with the candles, which are drawn in detailed bubble lettering, so it took some thought, have my age as 51. Which I assumed was just a crass joke about me getting old, but no, you genuinely just fucked
it up. I forgot, and I deliberately wrote down 51 at the time. I was like, 51 in bubble layers, all right. Then, like, when you open, you're like, why am I 51? I'm like, why did I write 51?
But the card is just, like, the characters from Sonic Boom, and no text, no context.
I was at GameStop, like, looking for stuff, and they had, like, a card, and all it was the box art from Sonic Boom, and it was so stupid. It was funny.
Yes, very nice.
Okay, yeah, so happy birthday and all that. All right, so what are we going to talk about? We get some news, we'll get to what we've been playing, and the releases. So let's get going. What do you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about Fable going free to play.
Yeah, this is smart. This is like the only way I was going to play this game. I feel like a lot of people probably feel the same way.
Well, again, it's I don't know if this is necessarily a reaction to Evolve because I feel like it's been too soon to really judge how successful that game is.
I don't think it hurts the decision making.
No,
process.
Like this is what I said Evolve should have done because both of these games will live and die by how many of your friends are playing, and we can get Chris and PJ and Perry, our friends that we usually play Destiny and Titanfall with, they'll play a game for free. They're not going to go spend $60 on this, maybe, but they'll try it.
Right. Well, it's funny how, like, I was so certain we were all going to play Evolve together, and it just didn't happen.
Because, like, they played the beta and, like, didn't win the first game, so they decided it was dumb. And so, but that was it, though. They were out. And once they were out, well, I mean... It would have been, I think, enjoyable if you and I played it with, like, other randoms, but not as fun as it would have been if we had five people playing. So, yeah, I think this is really smart. When you factor in this, plus the fact that it is going to get a Windows 10 release and they're cross-platform compatible, so the game's going to have a pretty good install base to work with. And I think this was really smart on their part.
Yeah, I think, and the free-to-play model sounds good. It's kind of the League of Legends style, where there's going to be a rotation of free heroes, but you can pay to own them forever and whatnot. And there's other
the very like, nice thing too is that
and stuff.
Yeah, it's nice too that your you know your character progress doesn't go away when the character's no longer free. If it right. either comes back in rotation or you buy it, you pick up where you left off.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's smart. I think yeah, because like I said, this game was always one that like never really seemed all that interesting, but. Now people can kind of try it. And I think it's good to let people try it in an environment outside of a beta, you know? That was kind of the problem with Evolve. We all got to try it a little too much.
Yeah, I think that did hurt the game. And I mean, again, if it was free to play, then whatever, but...
I feel like Evolve's beta should not have been so... I know why they had to do testing, but they shouldn't have been so widely available. It should have just been everyone could play Evolve.
Yeah, because this game's been in beta testing for a while, and I, you know, yeah. I signed up. I didn't get in.
Mm-hmm. All right, next...
Tell me about Crowfall.
So yeah, Crowfall went on Kickstarter a few days ago and already passed its $800,000 goal. This is a, an MMO by these two MMO vets, Jade Todd Coleman and, Gordon Walton. Gordon Walton especially has a lot of MMO experience. He worked on games.
Which
like
one's the Ultima Online guy?
Gordon Walton is. He worked on Ultima okay. Online, Star Wars Galaxy, and Star Wars The Old Republic.
Nice.
Yeah, so in between them, they have a lot of kind of MMO experience. The other guy worked on like Pirate 101 and Shadowbane and Wizard 101.
Okay.
So their kind of whole pitch here is like they want to make a different kind of MMO. So like a couple of things they're doing. One thing, the environments are voxel based and they're destructible, which is neat.
This is what EverQuest is doing now too.
Kind of, right? But EverQuest is about building things. This thing is voxel based just for destruction. Kind of, really.
I think that's cool.
Also part of EverQuest, but yeah, that's why it's voxel-based here. And also, like, so, like, you have a character that's persistent, but the game, a lot of the game worlds for the campaigns are procedurally generated. They last for one campaign, and then once somebody wins, or, you know, an end goal is met, that map is wiped, and that world is, like, done.
So it's kind of like playing a board game.
Kind of, yeah. That's
but
kind
with
of,
a persistent character.
Uh-huh. And then they also said cool. There's going to be like a big focus on kind of like building like political alliances, like a kind of almost like a Game of Thrones influence, it seems like.
Did they say how long a campaign would last?
Well, it has four seasons, they say. So like, you know, it goes through the four seasons that it's over. I don't know like how that translates to real time.
Real time, yeah.
Yeah. But it seems interesting. And like I said, it seems to be like people kind of gravitate towards this. I mean, people have been asking for a long time now. We need, you know, an MMO. That's
not just WoW World games.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, because even like Final Fantasy XIV, which is really good, it still kind of is
wow-y.
Warcraft / EverQuest.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, so this is cool. And it'll be kind of interesting to see this thing develop. I've been actually covering this game since these two people announced that they made a new studio. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of been on this beat for a bit, so.
Cool.
It's been interesting.
Hey, I'll tell you what. One thing that I'm glad to hear it's a guy from Star Wars Galaxies, because one thing I'll say for Star Wars Galaxies, the combat systems in the game were kind of standard. But I feel like the non-combat stuff in that game was really overlooked and underappreciated. Like, the way, like, it made, like, medics and dancers kind of integral to the gameplay, so if that's yeah. really what you wanted to do, you could viably do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was cool. Yeah, I thought, yeah, it's kind of funny. Looking back now, Star Wars Galaxies was kind of a lot more interesting than we gave it credit for in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think so.
Because, like, MMOs don't really try to be life sims as much as they used to, right?
Right, it's all about combat.
Yeah, it's all about they really tend more to lean more towards the RPG elements these days. And Star Wars Galaxy was interesting because, like, part of the draw was just, you know, you can come and just live in Star Wars world.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so besides that, we also had some,
Another Kickstarter.
Yeah, Toe Jam and Earl, the guy's, on Kickstarter trying to fund a sequel. He's at, 164,000 of his 400,000 goal after just a couple of days, so he'll probably get there.
He'll probably do it. That's good. I mean, I feel bad. Like, yes, I want a new Toe Jam and Earl, but I don't have any interest in doing a Kickstarter for a game that's coming out a year and a half from now.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry.
I
think the last game I backed on Kickstarter was from the Myst Studio.
Did you watch the pitch video or whatnot?
I skipped around a little bit at work when I had some downtime this week. I haven't gotten to watch the whole thing yet.
It's going for the kind of the Toe Jam Earl in one vibe, kind of a rogue.
Yeah, which is nice. It looks the prototype they have up looks really cool. Kind of like a almost like a pop-up book look to it.
Yeah. I think there's some things like some of the lighting looks a little wonky, and I'm sure that'll probably get fixed up. But yeah, it looks neat. It's cool though because this was happening. I actually got a chance to talk with the creator of Toe Jam and Earl. Greg.
I'm very proud of you for repping Panic on Funkatron.
Right, yeah, right, like, because that's always the thing, right, that everyone hated.
Especially after, like, reading, like, what he had to say about how they didn't want to make that game necessarily. Yeah. And you and I played that game a lot. We really liked it as kids.
I liked Panic on Funkatron. That was a neat.
Yeah, it was fun.
I know it was a side score, but it was a very different side score. I thought it was like,
yeah.
The style of that game was just great.
Oh, yeah.
Clap, clap, ooh, ooh, clap, clap.
Oh, yes. Shaka, shaka.
Yeah, and I think that, like, some aspects like that and the, potentially the, Hyper Funk Zone might be coming back for this one.
Hyper Funk Zone.
But he was, I thought he was a super nice guy to talk to. Very interesting.
That's good.
Yeah, and, I didn't realize Sega does not own Toe Jam and Earl. They have always.
Yeah, I was just kind of assumed, especially when they published the third game on Xbox. Mm.
But
That made me just think, just assume, like, yeah, it's Sega.
But, like, a lot of things make more sense now, like why Toe Jam and Earl, like, aren't in the racing All-Star games, or why it wasn't in the Sega Genesis collection right away, and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Huh.
Yeah, but,
yeah, why weren't Toe Jam and Earl and Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformers? That would have been great.
Now we know. But, yeah, this is kind of cool to see this come back. I always, you know, like, I don't know, Toe Jam and Earl 3 was whatever and stuff like that, but this is always one of the more interesting concepts in gaming, this weird sort of, like, you know, 90s funk mixed with sci-fi.
It's interesting, too. We didn't realize it at the time, but it was our first roguelike.
Right, right. That's what it really was doing.
You know, it wasn't until, like when roguelikes became really popular, like, 4 years ago, and I was like, what's a roguelike? And they're like, you know, like, oh, you go around and randomly generate dungeons as far as you can until you die and you start over again. And I literally went, oh, like Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah, right.
They're like, well, like Rogue, but okay.
Like, literally, it's like Rogue. It's roguelike. Like, ah, it's Toe Jam.
Ah, I see what you're doing there. So they're following the Toe Jam and Earl formula. Very good, very good. That's what all these games are like. I got you. Rogue Legacy. They should have called it Toe Jam and Earl Legacy.
Yeah, right. That's coming to PlayStation 4. That game was great.
I think it did come out. Yeah. In fact, you have one more day to download it as your free PlayStation Plus game. So make sure you do that.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I better go do that. Cool.
All right. I feel like that game on Vita would be great. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Anything else?
I don't think so.
All right. So actually, just today, we jumped on Final Fantasy XIV for a little bit.
Just a hot second.
Yeah, they added the gold saucer to it, which was, of course, like the gambling minigame place from Final Fantasy VII. And they did something smart, where, like, just kind of for a few days, anybody who had an account can log in for free to check it out.
Yeah, for, like, what, like 2 weeks?
Something like that, but it, yeah.
I think until March 9th, they said.
Well, sorry, first off, this isn't a part of, like, the upcoming expansion. This is just free new content. It's pretty substantial.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of parallels to be drawn with the Dark Moon Fair, I feel like, in World of Warcraft.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit bigger.
But yeah, it's really cool. It's like a whole place you go to. It looks kind of like the old Grand Saucer. It's very big in there. It's like a bunch of mini games. The two big things is there's Chocobo Racing in it. It has like the whole Chocobo raising stuff from Final Fantasy VII that everyone liked. And Triple Triad, which was actually the card game for Final Fantasy VIII, is back.
Yeah, they had as a standalone thing during Final Fantasy XI's time.
Did they? Yeah.
Because remember how Final Fantasy XI had, like, that weird launcher you had to use?
That's right.
It was integrated into the launcher.
But it wasn't a part of
it. But it wasn't in Final Fantasy XI itself. This is in 14. You can challenge anybody, which is cool.
Yeah, that's really neat, because it makes a lot of sense, because you can go around. It's not just in Golden Saucer, too. There's, like, other NPCs throughout the world, and you can just challenge friends, you can earn new cards. So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty compelling. And like you said when we kind of logged into it, after playing WoW for a few months now, man, Final Fantasy XIV looks really good.
It does. It is.
And not that, like, WoW looks bad. It's just, like, you could tell 14 is just a newer game engine, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, I'm, like, feeling that itch. I need to get a little bit back into that. I've been playing so much WoW.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, as far as, like, a free content update goes, that's pretty impressive what they did
there. That's not bad, not bad.
Yeah, and,
they've done a lot of good content for that game.
It is... That's one of the better redemption stories in gaming history.
It's very pleasant, isn't it? Especially because it's, like, such a grand franchise that it's kind of quasi fallen on hard times.
Right. Yeah. It's good to see Final Fantasy XIV is kind of like a quality product that is
right.
Like,
4 million active subscribers.
I don't know if it's active subscribers or registered users. I think they're saying, but it's still pretty.
Oh, I see.
That's still not bad. That's
not
still
bad.
Pretty good. I mean, look.
I didn't think we'd really see an MMO crack 2 million ever. So
I mean, look, if you would have told me that Final Fantasy XIV would be doing, I don't know necessarily what the numbers are, but you know, doing better than Star Wars, The Old Republic, and Elder Scrolls Online, I wouldn't have believed it. Yeah. Those two games have both gone to free-to-play models, and Final Fantasy XIV is still doing well with a subscription, it seems.
Yep.
But yeah, good for that. Good for Final Fantasy XIV. I'm excited for that expansion. Are you going to jump in when that comes out, you think?
When does it come out?
Not till spring-ish, so you got some time, I think.
Oh, good. The babies will be somewhat settled by then. Yeah, maybe I can.
Maybe. Yeah, that's right. Good luck.
Honestly, the thing that will help me the most is that I can play it with a controller on a TV. Yeah. Or my Vita, really.
Just, you know, it's cool, too, that we were playing that on different... I was on PC, you're on PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly, like I said, I've talked about this before, but, I mean, if you're just doing some basic grinding, like maybe trade skills or a low-level character, I mean, it's perfectly playable on a Vita. Yeah. I wouldn't do, like, a raid on it.
No.
I wouldn't do a raid on a controller, period, but it works. So, yeah.
So, I've been playing more Majora's Mask. I just beat the second dungeon. I feel like I got, like, a feel for the game now.
Uh-huh. And I get the rhythm down.
I mean, get why some people like this more than the other ones, and I get why how it's different. Because, you know, when you think of Legend of Zelda, I kind of think of, like, the dungeon elements the most, or the exploration elements. And this is the one that really focuses on, like, really the adventure game elements. And that's what the masks are. They're really inventory items, essentially. And you're just kind of going around talking to people, showing them the right mask sometimes. You know, that's always in Zelda, but it's, like, the focus here. There's only, like, I think there's only four dungeons or so.
Right.
And I like it. I will say for me, like, that's not my favorite part of the Zelda franchise. I think I like the dungeons and exploration stuff the best. So maybe that's why, that's why I'm not thinking that, like, this is better than Wind Waker or Ocarina of Time.
Right.
But yeah, I appreciate it for being different, and I am enjoying it. And the dungeons are pretty good that I played.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, it's cool for us because it is kind of like getting a brand new 3D Zelda game.
Pretty much. It's exactly what it is. One thing it is cool is, like, you putting the masks on and kind of being a different person. It actually works better here than it did in Twilight Princess with being a wolf, I think, to get these kind of alternate play styles. So, but yeah, enjoying Majora's Mask.
I kind of got sidelined from it because my wife got me Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate for my birthday.
Oh, right.
I actually just got the quest to go hunt a great Jaggy, so I haven't really fought anything big yet.
Mm-hmm.
But... like, it's apparent that they've done a much better job with the early game this time around.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of, like, prologue sequence is actually really cool to teach you the basic mechanics while something exciting is going on.
Mm-hmm.
You're on, like, the game's set in, like, a desert sea kind of to start. So you're on, like, a ship that's literally just gliding across the sand with sails, and then this giant thing comes out of the sand, and you have to fend it off with cannons, and you're, like, running on it and stuff like that. So it's a really exciting opening to the game. Where you're really not doing much of anything, but you feel like you're doing something heroic. So that's good. I went with the...
Insect Glaive?
The Kinsect Glaive. So it's the one I talked about, I think, with the demo where you know, it's like a pole arm, but you also shoot this bug out.
Yeah.
And the fun thing about that weapon, the best part, is you can jump with it, so to speak. You basically use the glaive to, like, pole vault yourself into the air.
Right.
And just the way the game uses verticality is really cool. Because remember, like, the whole big thing with Monster Hunter 3 was there's underwater fights, but it was, like, really cumbersome because the camera in the game wasn't very good.
Right.
But at least it was, like, an attempt at verticality. Well, they just basically every area you go to is littered with little cliffs and little plateaus you can very quickly get up just to get some height. And then, you know, you leap onto monsters and you could get on their back and start stabbing them, kind of Shadow of the Colossus style. So the fights are very, very exciting so far. It's good. It looks really nice on the 3DS. I mean, it's low resolution, but every 3DS game is. But what they pull off in the system with, like, depth of field effects and stuff like that is really nice.
Yeah.
Plus, the super stable 3D on the new 3DS is just so awesome. Awesome.
Love it.
So worth it.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah, I got Homeworld Remastered.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. Such a pretty game. Even, like, it was pretty back then. Like, when you look at it now, it's, you know, it's like any old game. Like, oh, God, this looks so much worse than I remember. The remastering is really well done.
I'm, like, afraid to try this because I was so awful at it.
Yeah, I'm still, like, figuring out, like, I feel like I'm just, like, you know, like you click all these ships and you set their formations, but the second you click them to go fight something, they're just flying all over the place.
Really.
So I still don't quite know if I'm playing it correctly. I mean, I'm advancing, so that's good. I'm like 4 or 5 missions in. But I mean, not only does like, you know, they increase the poly counts and the textures, but really it's the improvements to the lighting that make the game look really, really nice. They did a really good job with it.
That's cool, yeah. Something I kind of want to look at some point, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Also, I know you hate when I bring up iPhone games, but there is one you should check out, especially since you have a 6. It's called AG Drive. It's basically as close as we're apparently ever going to get to a new F-Zero.
Really?
And it looks really, really good.
Free to play or?
It's $4, and I don't think there's any microtransactions, which is nice. Goody. But, like, it uses that metal graphics engine that came out with iOS 8 that only works on iPhone 5S and up. So, like, I mean, it looks nice. It's very cool. You should check that out.
Cool, cool, cool. All right. Anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think I played anything else.
Yeah, I mean, more World of Warcraft. You didn't.
Yeah. Oh, well, we could talk a little bit about patch 6.1.
Well, a little. Patch 6.1 is not a huge content update, and
it's a lot of niceties.
Yeah, a lot of new garrison stuff.
I'm so happy that you can just go to the material vendors in the garrison and just click create all.
Yeah, one thing
that's so nice.
One thing that's cool is that you can build a jukebox for your garrison, and a lot of like the tracks you can get for it. You know, they're all just songs from World of Warcraft. But a lot of the tracks are, like, hidden in the world, or they're drops from old raid bosses and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool to, like, give you an excuse to go explore and play through some old dungeons. Stuff like that.
Also, I don't know if you noticed this, but they actually did do a pretty big update to the way lighting in the game works. Because I was playing, I was like, wow, this, like, looks better. And I remembered, like, reading about this a few weeks ago. Basically, like, it's weird, because it's still not, like... The shadows aren't really affected by this, but just like things just do a better job of picking up color from the light around them.
Oh, really?
And when you turn it off and on, you notice it. Like if you just started the game, you wouldn't really tell, but you start toggling it, it's noticeable. It's very nice.
All right, let's get to some releases real quick. The new Dragon Ball Games Universe came out. Xbox One, Xbox
360. Is that supposed to be any good?
It's supposed to be all right, actually.
Remember, like, when these were new and they were, like, kind of like, oh, my God, it looks like the show and they're actually really fun, and then they made, like, 50 of them?
Yeah, this one, I think, it's not quite it's like one-on-one fighting, but it's not like a fighting game, per se.
That doesn't make sense.
Well, it sure does. It's like, I don't know how to describe it. It's not like, you know... You can't compare it to like a Soul Calibur or Street Fighter dynamic.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say. I guess
Real quick, speaking of fighting games, you see the brutalities are back in Mortal Kombat X?
Yeah. What was the difference between a brutality and a fatality? Were they just extended combos or something?
Yeah, back in the day, they were just like ridiculous combos that just the guy exploded at the end. I guess in 10 or X or whatever, like to pull them off, you have to do something particular in the match, or you have to like not block or only use kicks or something goofy. So that like if an opponent pulls off brutality on you, you know they like really beat you.
No, it's funny.
Yeah. Although, funnily enough, I don't think they're as gross looking as the fatalities in this one from what I've seen so far.
It would be hard to top some of them.
Yeah.
Resident Evil Revelations 2, or I don't know if it's just the first episode that's out, but yeah, that's going to come out. Do you see this Shadow of Mordor DLC where you can fight
the Bright
Sauron.
Lord.
Yeah, interesting. A bunch of old Disney games went on Steam,
including Treasure Planet Battle at Procyon, which
that was kind of like a Jack and Daxter clone-ish, right?
No. This was the PC one that was like a naval combat strategy game,
weird,
using like the ships in the Ethereum. It was actually, I mean, aside from the Treasure Planet license, a pretty cool strategy game that I think people should really check out. I still have my copy of it.
Republic Remastered for PC.
Oh, yeah, I got that. I didn't realize when I backed it on Kickstarter that was part of my reward, so I have it downloaded.
Is that Homeworld thing new this week?
Yeah, that came out on the 25th.
Does that come with Homeworld 2 also?
Yeah, 1 and 2, remastered, and you get the original versions. And then for multiplayer, they combined both of them into one multiplayer experience that you play through Steam.
Oh,
that's technically still considered beta, but they didn't want to hold off the release any longer because the single-player stuff was done, so that's where that is.
So one thing before we're done here, Leonard Nimoy did pass away today.
Yes.
Which was super sad. it kind of like one thing I remember about him besides from Star Trek, obviously, is kind of all the stuff he's done in gaming. Mm-hmm. I remember like that opening narration in Seaman was always kind of oddly iconic to me.
Well, it was such a bizarre game, and it's like
I think having
Leonard Nimoy gave that game a sense of taking it seriously, I guess.
I felt like he was like a narrator in Star Trek Online. I felt like his narration gave a lot of credibility to that experience.
Oh sure, sure.
Oh, it's Spock.
Spock, yeah. But I mean, for my money, his voiceovers in Civ 4 were just fantastic. Mm-hmm. It made unlocking new techs and things exciting because he just had such a great read on all
right.
that stuff.
Oh, he has that like deep, like commanding, majestic voice that's always great for that kind of stuff. He was in a couple Kingdom Hearts games as like the main villain. It was very interesting because he was like, you know, the villain. It was like evil Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, which he never really played much of, you know?
Yeah, but
he was usually a pretty good guy.
He was really good. I'm a little sad because it seemed like they were setting him up to be the main villain in 3. And I don't know if they, you know, recorded that and they're going to have to replace him. That's kind of disappointing. But, yeah, so definitely will be missed.
Yep.
But in the, you know, we can always get over that by listening to old episodes of the Exploding Barrel podcast. Awful transition.
That's terrible.
Tasteless as hell, sorry. Trust me, I'm very upset. Go to ebpodcast.com to find our old episodes. You go to iTunes, leave us a review. Go to Twitter, Facebook, we're all over the place. So, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel podcast.
Bye-bye.